I'd like to speak a little on a moral evil that I don't believe that I've ever read about. Anyone making comments about it, expounding it? Maybe you have. I'm not that well read. But when our brother began to speak about divisions, something that I'm sure all of us have given a good deal of thought to, we'd like to try and find out what the root of it is. And I believe if you were to know more details about all the divisions that have taken place, you would probably find out that it started a couple of saints not getting along. So there is this term. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And verse 8. And look in the middle of the verse, and you'll see this phrase. The leaven of malice. The leaven of malice. We talk about moral evil, and I think for many of us, we immediately think of things like fornication, and perhaps lying, theft, things of this nature. But here he says, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven. And then the first thing he says is, the leaven of malice. And then wickedness. Malice, for those who may not know the term, malice is when you've got it, I don't know how to generalize it, you've got it in for somebody. That's malice. And it can be very obvious. It can be obvious to you, and it can be obvious to others. That you just don't like that guy or that sister. But malice, more often, is very subtle. And sometimes you yourself don't know. You're not really conscious of the fact that you have malice towards somebody. We, as our brother said, we're all human beings, and we all know from the time that we're really small that there's just certain people that we just would rather not be around. And I see a lot of grins, but this is way more serious, I think, than we realize. Because if I have malice towards someone, and especially if it's that subtle kind of malice, what begins to happen is, probably even subconsciously, I start to order my life and my conversations with people in such a way as to facilitate the removal of that person from my life. That's the leaven of malice, because now it's not just affecting me, but I'm affecting others too. Maybe I just slip a comment to a brother or sister about that person. That's like a snake's venom. And that's the leaven of malice. And as I said, many divisions start this way. You know, someone mentioned during this conference the book of Philippians, and they made the comment, it was a very touching epistle. And if you, we can turn there if you'd like, if you were to read this epistle carefully from the beginning, you can tell that Paul has a great deal of affection for this assembly. And I believe he uses the term beloved, and he says in verse 9, I pray that your love may abound more and more. I don't have time to take up this epistle. Spent a whole hour on it once. But what you will find out is you get down to chapter 4, and I think as you're reading the epistle, you may find that just there's something there on Paul's heart about this assembly. And I may not be putting it right, but it seems like there's something that's worrying him about what's going on in Philippi. He's very appreciative of them. They had fellowship with him in his work, and he loves them very much. And it's very apparent in his writings, but there's this kind of undercurrent as you read through the epistle, and it almost leaves one feeling like, there's something bothering him. Well, you know, it's inspired by God, so that means there's something bothering the Lord about what's going on in Philippi. And I believe he gets to it in chapter 4, in verse 2, where he says, I beseech Euodias and I beseech Syntyche that they be in the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, Iocho, help those women which labored with me in the gospel. These two women had helped Paul. They labored with him in the gospel. And obviously, he's got a very great deal of affection for them. But you know what? They are not getting along. And that may not be something so outward, but Paul's aware that they rub each other the wrong way. And he knows that this may seem like a small minor thing, but this could turn into a major disaster for that assembly. And so he appeals to the one he's writing to. It then says, I entreat you, as if writing to the whole church. Right here, he's getting personal with the person who's receiving this letter. He says, I beseech thee to help them. Some have heard this. You may giggle a little bit, but I think it's appropriate. Many, many years ago, I heard a brother refer to Euodias and Syntyche as odious and so touchy. And, you know, you get some kinds of people, they're odious. The speaker is probably one of them. And then you get those that are really touchy. You know, I mean, they don't like anything disturbed, and one little mistaken comment to them and they go off somewhere and cry. I'm being exaggerating, but you may be one or the other. But just imagine putting these two together, as one is just so odious and the other one that's just very touchy, and they're trying to help the Apostle Paul, and the odious one bumps into the touchy one, and the touchy one is, you know, breaks down, falls apart. So quite often, the Lord puts us with those that naturally rub us the wrong way. And Brother Robert can wave me down if I'm starting to take too much time. Euodias and Syntyche, odious and so touchy. This has to do with what our brother just said about self-denial. We who are the Lord's, maybe that's not the best way to put it, who are in Christ, who are indwelt with the Holy Spirit, who possess eternal life, we have another nature. And in order for that to be manifest, our natural life has to be contradicted. And the Lord will set those circumstances up where you're going to be crossed. Your nature is going to be pretty much frustrated trying to think of terms, but you know what I mean. And it's usually going to be another brother or sister who's going to be used to do that. And you will either practice self-denial and love, or you're going to start to develop the leaven of malice toward that person. Which is it going to be? Most, I think, many, if not most of you in here, have been around longer than I have among the so-called gathered saints. And you've seen more divisions. Let me put this before you. It says the body builds itself up in love. Right? If there's no opportunity for love to be exercised, how is there going to be building? We can come to conferences, you know, I don't see you very often. We come to conferences, we're happy to see each other. It's all warm and fuzzy feelings, mostly. But the ones that you're really getting built with are the ones that you have to grind with. Week after week. For the early believers, it was day after day. Because they were ostracized from their society and had to live communally. So they had to be with each other all the time. We have it easy. We just see each other perhaps a few times a week. And we still have problems getting along. Why? Part of it is the lack of self-denial. And the number one commandment, love one another. Well, it speaks, you know, love is exercised in forgiveness, in long-suffering, forbearing with one another. Love is exercised in asking for forgiveness, in confessing your faults to one another. Bodybuilders, you know, those guys and women now who just, you know, they build their bodies up, pump them up, and they get big, huge muscles, and they're rippling and everything. They know this secret that muscle, the way to build muscle is through tearing and repairing. Tearing and repairing. They push themselves until they're actually, their fabric is tearing. And then it repairs itself. And when it does, the repair is stronger than the original muscle. It's just like welders, you know, welders, some piece of steel will crack or be broken, and a welder will go in and he'll grind down through the tear and open it up, and then he'll lay a bead of steel in there, and that weld becomes much stronger than the original, if it's done properly. Well, muscle is built this way, tearing and repairing. So it's going to be something you don't have to do. We all know that offenses, trespasses against one another, sins, these things will be there by default. The question is, are you going to see those as an opportunity for building, or are you going to get political with each other and grin and bear it for the 1 hour you have to be around that brother or sister, and then find relief when you can leave the meeting and go home? Brother told me once about when a brother did something, I don't remember what it was, whether he'd committed some offense. I don't know if he took something from him or what it was. But he was fairly young at the time, his early 20s or something. And I remember him saying that he felt spiritual, and so he just kind of took it on the chin and wasn't going to do anything about it. He said, you know, he thought he was doing the right thing, being spiritual, forbearing, and so on. But he said, years went by, and their relationship was never the same in a negative way. I think it's still that way to this day. It's been about 30 years. He realized he should have gone to the brother, which is humbling, and tell him, I was offended by what you did. It wasn't right. Our brother mentioned pride, and you know pride, pride is the arch enemy of love. It is totally incompatible. And this, you know, if you've married in any kind of relationship, pride is the enemy of love. And pride will keep you from asking forgiveness. Pride will keep you from telling someone that you've been hurt. Pride will keep you from forgiving. When my daughter got married, she asked for advice. I said, I have a little piece of advice for you, just very simple. In marriage, as in any relationship, selfishness will get you in trouble. Pride will keep you there. Selfishness will get you in trouble, but pride will keep you there. And this can be applied amongst us. Little offenses come in, and brethren don't like each other. But they know it's not right not to like each other, so they hide it. And they even hide it from themselves, and they lie to themselves. But the leaven of malice, you know what leaven does? It kind of blossoms, if you will. And it comes out. One way or another, it comes out. And it causes great harm. Great harm to the assembly. So, just remember that term. Don't overlook it. Think about it. The leaven of malice, and just judge yourself. And remember that all these divisions, you know, I believe Paul understood this very much. And there in the book of Philippians, he puts his finger on something that could end up destroying that assembly. Just a little problem, two sisters having trouble getting along together. And we have an individual responsibility when we see this in our assembly, not to turn away and think it's their problem, because after a while it's going to be your problem. And not just your problem, it's going to be all of our problem. Because we know these little divisions, they don't stop with just one assembly. Eventually, they're splitting up assemblies everywhere. You know this. But think about it. The root. What's the root? The brother said it's our flesh. Well, it is. But there's that subtle leaven of malice. Don't forget that.